Ooh, y'all.
What's going on? Car guys and car gals, welcome to the Car Guy Cafe. This is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
And this is Frelin Arts, the subprime hero. We have a special brew.
Guest.
Hashtag special brew for you tonight, folks. I'm super excited. We got all kinds of new stuff going on
all
in this world.
All kinds of new stuff. And to wear. And we got cool new stuff to wear. Look at this.
Swaggity waggity. Yeah, we're swagged out tonight. We're pumped up.
Pumped up about that.
Yeah, the classic hat. This is the OG. Very first hat we ever made. We decided to re-release it one more time for season two. But man, we are so pumped up. We have somebody that's inspired me. Somebody that when I was trying to figure out how I was going to do this podcast, how I was going to do it, he was one of the very first people I've ever listened to do a podcast. This guy's been doing it for a long time. He's experienced. He's not just experienced in podcasting, but this.
This is a smooth brew, folks.
This is smooth. So yeah. Smooth. He's experienced in a lot of things. Car business. This guy's all about it, man. His podcast, Dealer Talk, is amazing, folks. If you guys haven't listened to it, go check it out. Mad love. Give some props to it. Go out there and follow it. I promise you, you will not miss out on anything.
But if you haven't got that yet, guess what they're going to have to do? Get some of it right now.
Get on it.
Tag a car guy.
Huh.
Tag a car gal.
You know what's up. Make sure you do that. It's time to share. We're about to do a five liner, folks.
Get ready for this. It's about to be a good time. Get your cup of coffee brewing because this is about to be a good one. And I'm telling you, it's going to be smooth.
Operator.
You went ahead and got this circled around a little bit. Looks like some of you maybe have jumped on for a bit so that you can share it. Awesome. We're excited about it. Do us a quick favor and go ahead and put your hands together if you're not driving. If you're driving, go ahead and just slap one leg or something. But we want to welcome to the cafe our friend, the incredible host himself. He's probably about to host us. I don't know. I'm very humble.
It's kind of like a double host. Yeah, he's hosting us while we're hosting him.
That's right. And we're excited about it. So put your hands together or slap that leg. Welcome to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast, our friend from Dealer Talk, Mr.
Herb Anderson.
What up? I've always wanted to do the move, man. Like when you do your pulse.
Oh, you know? I got you. We can go ahead and get the moves together.
You're getting the moves,
because there is... the Forgive, Focus, and Fly movements that we can definitely do in rhythm and in step. Welcome to the show, brother. Right welcome, on. Welcome.
Dude, thank you, man. This is awesome. Super pumped. I've been excited about this all day, getting ready to chat with you folks. So thanks for having me on, man.
Awesome, man. We appreciate that, man. We're so happy to have you. I know we've been trying to schedule this Friday night, and I know that you have a busy schedule yourself, man, and I love it. You are a hustler, and I appreciate the hustle. From one hustler to another, respect. I'm so glad we found time tonight to make this happen. Cheers to that,
cheers,
man.
Folks. Yeah, man.
Cheers to all of you that are brewing solutions in the cafe. Go ahead and throw a mug in there for our friend, our guest. And folks, go ahead and throw a mug out there for somebody that you like, you know, somebody that you want to upshift and uplift. Tell them to get into the cafe right now.
Make it happen, folks. So, hey, I know that there's people in all different platforms watching us from LinkedIn, YouTube, and we also have, of course, Facebook out there, Facebook Nation, as everyone calls it. I appreciate you all for joining us. I know that sometimes with StreamYard, your comment may not pop up and we may not see it. What I will guarantee you is that I will respond to it later. So
yes,
feel free to comment. If I don't respond, it's not that I'm trying to ignore you. It's just that I may not see it, but your comment will be followed up with, man. I promise you, I know how to follow up. That's no doubt. So let's make this happen, man. So welcome, man. How are you tonight?
I'm awesome, dude. Like I said, just, you know, I've been excited about this deal all day, ready to just chat with you guys, man. So again, thanks for having me on here, man.
And we appreciate you.
So glad that you are here. You are here to do what it is that some of the best solutionaries in the business have had the chance to come and do. And that's drop a five liner and let people know just a few, well, five things about them that maybe that hasn't been asked of you before. And make sure that we get to the nitty gritty about what makes you the car guy that you are, because we definitely honor that. That's one thing that we do here in the cafe. We might gas you up a whole lot, but we mean every bit of it.
You deserve, you know what I
mean?
You get
every
it,
drop of that.
No doubt.
We appreciate it. We appreciate the people that are in here, but you're about to get this sizzle on inside of this five liner. So it's about to get real.
It is, man.
Welcome.
But before we do the five liner, we always have everyone pop up that three F's, man. And these three F's are so important in order for you to keep growing in life, right? In order for you to keep growing, you got to forgive. You got to forgive all the stuff of the past. Now I got it right here on chest. You may not be able to see
it's
it.
It's camo
right there.
It's on there.
Forgive,
guys.
Focus, and fly. All right. So
it just blends into the
yeah, this is it. It's a blend. It's beautiful, right? So you got to make sure that you're ready for it. So I'm ready for it, and I'm ready for Lou to break this down for you.
That's right. So, Herb, you know what's going on when people deal with things inside of life. You often run into a wall, which usually has blasted on it all of the things that could be the excuses or the reasons to hold you up. And the thing that makes that wall come down is not by throwing things at the wall. It's by forgiving everything that gets onto that wall.
Yes, sir.
Everything that belongs to you, forgive. And everything that belongs to somebody else, forgive it. And then from that point, you have the chains off of you to be able to focus. And then once you have the chains off of you to focus, you can then jump over that wall. You can fly right above it because you're not weighed down by unforgiveness anymore. And by forgiving, focusing, and flying, we get to keep growing and keep growing
and keep growing, right? That's right.
So that's basically what our movements are. We'll teach it to kids inside of schools. We'll teach it to the car business and let them learn that to forgive, focus, fly is how you keep growing. So join us real quick. Make sure you got enough room for them arms to swing. We might even dance this
out. Let's do it, man.
Just real fast. All right. So car guys, wherever you are, if you can only do it with the one hand, put one hand on it, okay? But here we go. On three, everybody. One, two, three.
Forgive.
Focus.
And fly.
And keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing.
So the way that we'll pull it.
I'm talking about. Yeah, man, I love that. That's cool, man. I like it.
One, two, three. Give, focus, fly. Come on, keep growing. Yeah, there you go.
Don't stop. Oh, won't stop.
Yeah. Man, that's what I'm talking about.
It's a lifestyle, baby.
Yeah, man.
That's the message. We appreciate it, though. But welcome. Now we are really ready for a five-liner, brother. We appreciate you.
Man, so thank you for being here. So this five-liner is a lot of fun, and it brings it up, and it lets people know what you're about. And what I already know what you're about, so I have a feeling a lot of these answers are going to hit me right here in the heart, and I love that. So the very first question I'm going to ask you is a question I love to ask everybody first. It's your why. What is your purpose? What makes you wake up every day and say, I'm doing this?
For me, man, it's all about connecting with people and helping them in this industry to do better, dude. That's it. That's the one thing that drives me. I'm determined, and you know, my motivation is to help people do better. I hate, like what we were talking about earlier about the stigma. I hate that. So,
dude, I love it. I love that answer because fact of the matter is that is really the basis of everything. You know, just. And just improve, you know, and one thing that what that does is it does that for everything that you can have a why for. So your why could be a multitude of things, but when you break it down to something like that and it can spread out. So whatever you need to motivate, that can help you get to that next level. I Love that, Herb. Very good answer. Very, very, very good answer.
And you can tell he's done an interview or two, right? Like I told you, folks, it's going to be smooth.
It's weird being on this side, man, but, you know.
Hey, I know.
We're going to make it work.
Time too.
I mean, it's just like, you see, we help so many people buy cars, but then when we buy cars, we are some anal retentive, cannot please, you know what I mean? I mean, right. The most hardest of the hard, most undecisive people in the business are the car guys, because we're always measuring here, here, there, there. Well, what about you? Oh, man. What if a guy does come? You know, we are the ones that over scrutinize a car deal, and we're the easiest ones to be the surgeons for somebody else. But for us, we're like, man, this is weird buying the car. You know what right. I mean? We're actually spending our money on it. Whoa, you know? And so it's same thing with podcasting or just being a host or being a speaker, you know, being able to be the one that just says, you know what? I don't have the pressure of putting on the show. I get to really just relax. And that's kind of the culture that we're trying to make sure we develop here at the cafe, right? A nice, comfortable, casual area. We're not on a serious date. You know what I mean? You don't need to be dressed to the nines to eat with us. You know what I mean? Let's have a cup of coffee and a conversation. It's an easy way for people to let loose and be upshifted and uplifted, brother. No doubt, and your why definitely upshifts and uplifts you every day. And I'm sure so many car guys and car gals out there are the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. So, you know, when you get into the why, and people across the world, like, I think that if you are in a growth mode, sometimes you get into a dip where you're like, man, you lose motivation a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, a lot of times the why will lift you back up. It helps you pick your head back up, look at the light, you know, and just be able to say, okay, I can see where I'm trying to get to, where my destination is. And this is why I'm doing it. And when you can have that focus, it helps you get to that next level. And sometimes a lot of people will lose that really quick. And that's why I love that question. I love to have that answer from people, because I think people need to see that it, how important, you know, what really, I've always had that in me, but I never really put it into words. Even it's as simple as what's your why. But like, I remember the Simon Sinek, you know, when he talked about that, you know, it all starts with the why. And I remember hearing that, and I'm like, it freaking does. And I, since then, really, I think I have really increased my life and to my personal value to myself, you know, how I feel like I'm growing, and it really helps me focus. And it, every time I feel like I can't do it, I use that. And I'm like, I can, and this is why I can.
It's the story too, man, because for me, for example, I came from Venezuela. I was like, you know, I was 4 months here in this country. My dad passed away. It was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know? And this industry took me in, dude, and it gave me opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And, you know, when I think about it that way and I put things into that context, it changes things, because, you know, we don't aspire to be in the industry, which I hate. Why is that? Like, we don't aspire to be car salesmen or to work at a dealership. And this is such a great industry. There's tons of potential people in here. Not only can you make a great living as far as financially, but there's a lot of amazing people in this. That's why I started the podcast. I never started the podcast. I didn't want to be a podcaster. That wasn't the goal. I started the podcast because I was having these amazing conversations and interactions with these very intelligent people. And I was like, dude, how do I get others into these conversations? You know what I mean? And so, yeah, dude, when I put it into that context, it's very easy to stay motivated and to keep doing it every single day. You know what I mean?
Podcast was a way to be able to do. Ooh, my goodness. Was I on mute?
Yeah.
Sorry, we had a little disconnect there.
Oh, how long was I on mute?
Since you started talking.
Oh. Yes. Wow. Wonderful. So, man, what good news is
that was some great stuff.
And it was. Guys, you guys, just I just me, dropped everybody. Some like
you all missed it.
Model type straight like Shakespearean like knowledge.
It was great.
You guys just missed it.
I drank it all.
And what's crazy is I forgot what I said.
It was that good, man.
It was so deep and profound that I completely lost it. But no, on the serious, I didn't realize I was on mute, but that's okay. I still, thanks. Hey, folks, this is what we call keep growing. And when I talk about, even when you mess up, you know, I even talked about the other night how we did a show and completely lost it and had to re-record it all. right? And that was so horrible to have to call your guests and say, hey, man, I had such a great time with you the other night. I want to do it again.
We're recording, right? Are we recording? Yes, we're recording.
We are. We're
to the same show.
Let's do it all over again with the exact same questions and try to get the same kind of fun that we had and recreate it. But what was crazy is we had to do it three times, I believe. All three times. Out of all three of those times, it was even better, better the second time.
Every single
time. It was bananas, and it was so fun, and every guest was even had, like, they even were like, yeah, no problem at all.
Yeah, let's do it again. Is everybody well,
saying, well, it happened twice. One of
it happened, man. Like, I've been there, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you had some war stories.
Bro.
For that.
So, I'm going to pass this second question on to Lou right there. Let's make this happen.
But keeping in flow with that, and as I kick it a little on his first answer, it'll bring up a little bit of what you were talking about. But we are trying to make sure that people like you and people like us and the other solutionaries that we're rising with understand that there is a culture that has to uprise in order for it not to be so strange for somebody to want to be in the car business. The reason why I personally believe that our families didn't encourage us or show us the way, because if you ask people that aren't really in the car business about the car business, there isn't a lot of good to say. You don't want to be the thief inside of the room at Thanksgiving, right? You don't want to be the one that everybody is talking about underneath their breath about you being the one that robbed your cousin and the car is a piece of junk. You know what I mean? You don't want any of that. And so the stigmas on the car business bled into many families. So you would be of great honor if you were a mechanic, but not if you're a salesman. Why? Because the stigma that got put out there about salespeople was always bad, you know? And my father would also tell me that.
Right.
He was a mechanic by trade. But I said that I wanted to sell. Dad, this is what I'm going to get out of the army to do because I'm good at this. And I like it. I like nice cars. We've always had garbage. You're a great mechanic because it took a great mechanic for most cars to get to the store. You know what I'm saying? It was a lifestyle that I wanted to be on the other side of. And, oh, they give you a car too, right? And so that stigma that stayed in that keeps people from being in the car business even today. And that gets to be able to be ridden by a market that is also trying to now sell to that customer that says, hey, you can jump completely over that person that sells cars and buy it from the cool little app on your phone and you don't have to deal with anything. You know what I mean?
I agree. And I think it starts with us, dude. Like when people ask me what I do for a living or what industry I'm in, I said that proudly, man. Like I'm in the car business. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I say that proudly. And I hear people talking about their position and stuff. And sometimes they're like, well, I sell cars. And it's like, it drives me insane, dude. Like, you know, have you ever been on that side of the desk and you see somebody's credit report come in and you're making more money than them and they're like a lawyer or a doctor or something? And it's like, dude, like if we start, it's the mind shift, right? Like if we start to change the mind ourselves as the professionals, then that stuff's going to project, right? And our behavior is going to change. Exactly. But until we get to that level consistently within the industry and we start from within, right, we're going to have those things. And that's also going to influence our behavior to a certain degree, which I hate to say, but it's the truth. So, you know, like
one of
the best moments that I had in my life was I remember coming home and my son was playing with this garage thing. And he was like, look, Dad, this is my dealership. Like, and why does he say that as a little kid? Because I bring that stuff home and I talk about it with pride. You know what I mean?
Dude.
Amen.
And
amen.
You 100%.
You should.
I know our children understand how great this business is, to the point where they all kind of want to be like, maybe I should sell cars.
Right.
Yes. If you want to, yes, but you have opportunity to do whatever you want. Just be happy. Because the best thing to do for anybody is find something that you're happy at, that you can do with full passion. Because whatever it is, eventually, no matter what, the money will come. It does not matter. You just have to work hard and love what you do. And that's all I want my children to do. But if it's the car business, it's the car business. And guess what? They're going to do really well. It's because you make it a career, not a job. That is a huge difference. And as a leader, you have to show that. Now, Lou and I, when we got in, I was in, like I told you when before we did this interview, Lou and I, we got in this business, we met each other, and I was kind of like a floor manager. I was the floor manager at the time.
You're a team leader.
And Lou came in, and I was new, but I was only a year in the business, so I was like a young buck trying to do my thing, and I was, you know, I was doing my thing. You know, I'm a veteran of the Air Force. Lou comes in, I told you, man, I knew the moment I talked to him, I was like, oh man, this guy's going to be good, right? He's going to be a hoss. And
yes, sir. With honor.
But we had leaders above us, yes. Matt Damos, and all these people who showed us that this business is more than just a job. This business can change your life. Yes. It can give you six-figure income without a college education, without a high school diploma. You can have.
It can teach you too. It gives you a lot of skills. It gives you a lot of skills.
And so many. 100%. And you know, the thing that it does, it builds you up. Since I've been in this business, my skill set has really grown, and I feel like I can almost do anything, if that makes sense. I think a lot of us can feel that way when we're in the business, as long as we've been doing it at the level we've been doing it. And it's a great feeling to have. But yet, though I could do anything, I want to stay in this business because I love this business. And that's why we do these podcasts, to change the culture of this business, to change the image of this business. How much better would it be if customers looked at us as we're awesome? I want to go to a car dealership because they are awesome people. They have product knowledge. They help us. They have the best interest for us. They don't tell us lies. They make the process easy and simple and enjoyable, right? They make it all those things.
I hate that I don't remember this person's name, but I connected with her recently on LinkedIn. She wrote this book called Mommy Works with Cars. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's the kind of stuff. It's on Amazon.
Melanie Borden. That's a great friend of ours too.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
She's awesome.
That's the kind of stuff that we need to start. So we need to see that stuff. Like, with, you know, can you imagine reading that to a little kid and the impression that that would leave? You know what I mean?
And it starts right there.
She is a pioneer.
Yeah, man.
I mean, there's so many people that are out there. But I think that's what's happening now, is that the culture is starting to shift because we're – and that's what makes great car guys. I mean, fundamentally, that's what makes a car guy be a person that could have a degree or could have never finished high school. They can come into this business, receive some really high-end training to become assassins inside of sales – and then apply that to every bit of life. But what they get the chance to do is have a conversation with many different walks of life.
Right.
See, and you see it's fair. You know why I love this industry? Because it's fair. And here's why. You can get somebody like myself that's, you know, an immigrant that, you know, starting out and stuff, and it can be a platform to propel your career. Right. You can get somebody that went to college and has a degree and gets into this industry and they don't make it. They don't make it. You know what I mean? So the degree really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's all about the individual. If you're the right person that has the right mentality and the right skills, you're going to make it. And if you're not, no degree, none of that stuff really matters. So I love that it's just pure. This industry just makes it really fair.
Yep. And you're right.
I love that you say it.
I love that.
Same, especially dropping the pure in there. So I want to kick out there a quick correlation to scripture and to history. Okay, so King David, before he was King David, he was just a little shepherd boy trying to guard a bunch of sheep. Okay, and inside of that, he defended the sheep from lions, from bears, right? No tigers and no lions and tigers and bears. It wasn't the Wizard of Oz, but he defended them from that. So when an entire army with all of the tools in the world are standing in front of a giant and nobody has the guts to step up and say, I can take him, right? This one that battled the lion and the tiger, or excuse me, the lion and the bear. I just said the lion and the bear is like, I already know what it's like handling these. Who's this guy that's disrespecting my God? We got this. What are you guys scared of? You know what I mean? I've already handled this. When you start to have the experiences in this business with the lawyers, with the doctors, with the McDonald's workers, with the executives, you know, when you start to have those conversations and you understand that there's something that they may know really well, but you're an expert at this and you're trying to teach them, and you get that opportunity to bring them to light and conquer that Goliath that seems like a bad, scary customer, you know, at first. But eventually you end up like our friend Rudy, right? And you're anything that you look at, you know, you're going to conquer. Anything that stands in front of you, you know, you're going to be able to make bow down because you know who you are. And it helps with the experiences of tackling the Giants. You know what I mean?
So true. But also, you're not scared of failing. If you do, whoop-de-doo.
Right.
Onward and upward, man. You learn something, you move on, you keep going. Much like when I was muted earlier.
That's right.
You have to overcome. You know, but, you know, it's okay. Life is full of those types of moments when you get muted. And you know what? Raise your voice up and have fun anyway.
Speaking of Melanie, that's Melanie Borden right
there. Boom, right here.
Yeah, there she is. Yeah,
she's awesome, you know, and she's definitely
very cool.
Yeah, we got to interview her about like May of last year, somewhere around there. She was awesome. You know, we got connected through the Think Ag Group, actually, and they know her because they do a little bit of work for her dealership and marketing side. And so she reached out. They reached out to her and said, you should come on our show. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. So we actually were on her moment.
Yes.
Aha moment. Her show too, so which was really cool. So she's an amazing solutionary. It was very cool. Yeah.
So let's get on to question number two. Since I got the rock in my hand, right? All right. So, I mean, a simple one. You may have answered this on your show. You may have described it to many other people, but to the solutionaries that are brewing with us, they definitely want to know the origin of the beans they're brewing with. So, brother, what brought you into the car business?
You know, it sucks to say, but it was just opportunity and necessity at the time, man. Like I said, I came from Venezuela. I thought my life was going to go in a different direction. And 4 months after I got here, my dad died. And, you know, I needed to work or I was going to go back home. And I didn't want to. That wasn't an option for me. So the first opportunity that I got was a dealership out in Michigan. As a Loop Tech tire technician and lot porter, and you know, I got started there, man.
So, started from the bottom. Now you hit.
Oh, that was the beginning. Yeah, man.
Those are such good humble beginnings, but yet it shows that, like, just all you gotta do is put the work in, man, folks. Example of you get what you put in, right? If you don't put work in, you're not gonna get anything back. You can't just sit back and hope things happen. You know, you got to really. Get uncomfortable.
Without works is dead.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter how much faith you have if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Again, citing scripture, the word says that we've been given the power to gain wealth. So if we've been given the power for it, I can't hold anybody else accountable for it. Not even God himself. It's up to me. The gift is right. The rock's in my hand. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's right here. I got to do something with
it. It's right here.
You know what I mean? So.
And it goes back to what we were talking about, dude. Like, what industry can you go that you know, you walk in there knowing nothing, man. And then every single step that I took forward, it was because somebody in that dealership connected with me, saw something in me, took me under their wing and helped me along the way. Like, they reached back and they pulled, you know what I mean? And I see that happening in this industry so many times. I see people that are at the top reaching back, pulling people up all the time. You know what I mean? It's not for everybody because you got to prove yourself. But if you do, man, people within this industry are going to help you make it. And I know it sounds cheesy and corny and I don't care, but it's beautiful, man. It really is.
Facts. You know what I mean? But they see it. When they see it in you, they'll pour into you. You know, it's like your cup has to be empty.
That's
so
right.
when you go into a dealership and you're a new person, so all you new people out there, if you're thinking about this business, you're like, man, I see all these really cool people like Subprime Hero and I'm just kidding. But you do, you look at this and you're like, I'm interested. I want to get there. Folks, first of all, it can be overnight. It could take years. It does not matter. You just got to put work in. Go find you a good store and you walk in and you just do what you're supposed to do. And you gotta, it's so much more than just an opportunity to get a job. It's an opportunity to change. We keep saying this, but it's so true, to change your life. The people that you walk into when they see, like, I know that when Lou came in, I wanted to pour into him as much as I could. I showed him all the little tricks of my little way I do my pencils.
I thought it was amazing. I was like, wow.
I wanted to pour into him because I knew that he would take it and go ham with it, right? And I was like, man, this is so cool. And it was my way to put my own little spin on something, right? It was one of my first opportunities to really. So I, you know, I take a little pride.
Seeing him pumped up after I would use a close that I learned from him, directly from him, or with a customer, or lead in a certain way, and then he'll be sitting on the other side of the cubicle or standing over there by the tower and just waiting and be like, "Did you save them?" Like, "Yeah, bam, yeah, dude." And he'd be up, you know, getting $0, but seeing the success of a seed that he put out.
Dude,
man, that's the most rewarding stuff ever. When you start seeing success from the seeds you sow, you sow more seeds.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're motivated.
But the other side of the coin of that too, is that Lou was also asking. So like for all you guys out there that are new in dealerships and you have these guys that you feel like, "Oh man, I wish they would tell me," you got to ask. Here's the thing. A lot of times that's all it takes, you know, if you just ask, because that shows that you want something. I heard one time it was Michael Jordan talked about sitting down, having a meeting with Emmett Smith. And Emmett Smith was like, reached out to him and said, "Hey, I really want to, you know, I see what you're doing with your business. I really want to sit down and try to learn." And this is about business. Love to sit down about and talk about business and try to build an empire like you have. So Michael Jordan takes the meeting. They sit down. They're talking. At the end, Emmett Smith goes, "Man, I just can't believe you actually went ahead and sat down with me." Well, first of all, in my head, I'm thinking, well, you're Emmett Smith, bro. Of course, he's going to sit down with you. Like, one of the greatest running backs, if not the greatest ever, to run playing the game, right? So, but at the same time, Michael Jordan tells him, "It's because you asked," and that right there lets me know that you're willing to learn. Like, my words are not going to just be to death's ear. You know, it's going to be used. So, boom. You know, and that's the key. When you reach out and you ask, instead of assuming they're going to come tell you, a lot of times they will give you everything. And so ask for those things sometimes. You know, sometimes that's all it takes, just a question. "Hey, can you show me a couple of this? I saw that you talk to these customers. How do you get so many appointments in? How do you overcome the $250 a month?"
Yeah. You know? How did you just close that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That person's wife was screaming at him and the baby was crying and, you know, I knew that you guys were way over budget. How did you close that? Be humble enough to sit there and ask and be like, "Wow, what just happened? I need to catch up with Johnny." No.
Yep.
Find out what Johnny did to close. You know what I mean? To make it work and take some of those dribble skills. But you have to ask, you know what I mean? And sometimes that rock has to get past, just like asking question number three.
There is no, I don't believe in shortcuts. Really quick here before we get into that, guys. Sorry. I don't believe in shortcuts, but the only shortcut, if you're one of those people that's like looking for the shortcut, the only shortcut that exists is reaching out to people that have done what you want to do and get them to teach you what they've done. That's the only shortcut that you have. 100%. Learning from other people's experience, but it's got to be the people that are doing what you want to do and learn from them and then apply those things and you're going to get similar results.
That's it.
If you're really looking for a quick way, that's the way, in my opinion.
I love that. Cool. Great answer. And that's 100% right. There's no doubt about that. I love that you made that point to bring that up because people have to understand that, you know, it's 100%. It's funny that I like how you ended that with like, if you get similar results, and I think, is it Elon Musk that said that? Like, where if you want to do something great, do exactly what that another person who did exactly what you want to do, and you'll have the similar results. So do those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be identical because you got to take into consideration the exterior factors that are beyond your control. But if you just do the things that you can control and you replicate that from other people that have achieved it, you're going to get similar. It'll be in there some, you know, it'll be real close.
I like that, man. That's a great way of putting it.
So John Maxwell. That's more of the flow.
That was John Maxwell.
Okay. Right. And cool. And again, great leadership, but leadership is always showing somebody how to do something. You know what I mean? I came in as a trainable student.
Sure.
And had somebody that was able to do so, which is a key piece. You got to have good teachers. You got to have good students.
But, they also have to drink the water. You know, it's like they'll bring in the horse, and if they don't want to drink it, they won't. They have to drink it, you know, and he drank it, and he's still drinking it, you know. And there is like a secret sauce to it. You know, you do have to have that inside you. Like he said earlier, just because you have a college education, just because you are maybe a military veteran doesn't mean that you're going to do well in the business.
Right.
I believe that everybody could, but they have to, something has to click in their brain.
But not like, everybody's meant for it. I mean, everybody has their thing in life to do.
Some people like 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, you know?
Everybody's purpose may not necessarily be tied together with the thing they do for income. I believe that we should be more shifted into a life where what pays us is part of what we're passionate about. That's just my philosophy.
Yeah.
But not everybody does that. And people live some fulfilled lives, not doing a dream job, if that makes sense. But at the same time, I think that it's key that all of us find our niche, and there are few that are in the car business. If we calculate the amount of physical human beings in the car business, it is a small minority of people per the earth. You know what I mean? Related to the car business is a whole
lot. Yeah, I mean, you're talking people who make it, sell it, transport it, you know, finance it. There's so many different aspects, vendors that you could keep going.
Yeah, but as far as sales and service side, specifically the tech to the sales guy, far, far small numbers of total humans on earth. But those that are wanting to do it, there's no reason why they can't do it if they diligently seek the answers. They're there. They're available.
Right.
You know, there's big car guys all around to pull from.
But yeah, but to change the painting of us though, you know, and if we keep this painting and we keep making it better and we try to show that the future generation wants to be in this business because it's not a shady, you know, I got, you know, short sleeve, short tie, you know, I'm the car guy. But the
dope shirt, fly tie.
But
just the car guy.
But you know, we can show them that this is a place where you can have fun, you can smile and be honest and have integrity and be able to do things the right way and yet still make income and be able to provide greater things than you could ever imagine. The crazy thing is it's like
help people, man. Let's not forget that what we're doing here is we're allowing people, we're providing we're fulfilling the transportation needs for people. That doesn't just include buying a car. That means we help people get to work. We help people pick up their kids. We help people go on vacation. That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
One of the biggest purchases that people have is their automobile. And it's one of the most important ones that they have. It's what they trust their life in every single day. And there is an honor in that. And that's why, again, the thing that shifts between us is the people that do this with honor and say, look, yeah, you may have a bad thought of the car business, but I know the car guy. I know the subprime hero. I know my man Herb Anderson. There may be some bad car guys out there. Not this one. That's my car guy. You know what I mean? That one's my guy. And that's where you have to differentiate yourself in the business that, yes, there is a lot of stigmas, but it's in everything. Everything has its ugly stigma and why people want to stay away from it. And you choose who you do business with for everything else based off of your relationship with the product and people. And that's where we're growing to try to show the market, hey, you can do this. We're getting Car Guy University growing.
Yeah, man. That's funny that you said that. Yeah, I was thinking that the whole time you were talking. But the Car Guy University. Hashtag folks don't.
Hey, we got to start that deal, man. I like that. That's dope.
Yeah, yes, sir.
We already own the website.
Oh, shit. Anyway. But anyway, that being said,
am I too late?
We're looking for professors and deans. We're looking for it all, right? So we're definitely ready to keep growing, folks. And here's the thing. This has been a great conversation, and I'm super excited. I can't help but want to just talk about a million things with him, right? And because I could see that his mind is going, and I could learn so much from him right now. And the thing is that to have a good professor inside the cafe is an amazing thing. And so, once again, I want to thank you. My third question I'm going to ask you kind of leads along with kind of about what we've been talking about. You know, you were talking about the only shortcut is to ask somebody and they could show you these things. The only shortcut is it's much like that. You could read books. You could do all these things to learn how to do something the right way instead of doing it, you know, failing five times or figuring it out. You know, it's like really nice to be able to do that. And he's so right. That is the only shortcut. And really, it's just a life hack. It's a great life hack. It's the only life hack you should take. But what's great about that is that when you get those types of influences, it can really fast pace you and go into a quicker. For example, like I could show Lou how to do stuff when I was selling cars and he learned it pretty quick. It was maybe something I learned. Now he picked it up quicker than me. So now instead of doing a year in the business like I was in, he could figure that out within 30 days, right? And that's kind of what that he's talking about here.
Right.
So I felt like I was able to influence him. So as we come up in this business and we do things, we have people that we run into that kind of give us that life hack. Somebody who's been really influential, like a mentor. Who would you say has been your greatest mentor since you've been in this business?
I think I've had a lot of mentors, man. Honest with you, like every single time, like I said earlier, every single time I progressed, like there was some association, you know what I mean? There was somebody that reached back and pulled me with them. You know what I mean? So I feel pretty fortunate. But I mean, if I were to single somebody out in particular, and it would be the first manager that I had that I ever worked with. Well, I wasn't the first, but it was the first manager I had as a writer, as a service writer. Now, that's a guy named Frank Ramuni. So if he's watching this, man, you know, like, thank you.
Go Frank.
Yeah, man. He is one of those guys that just took the time, man. And he taught me the ropes. And, you know, in my path, as I started as a loop technician, I wanted to be a mechanic. You know, my path was to be a mechanic, but he was like, no, man, like, I think you should be a writer, like, try it for a month and see how it goes. And that kind of changed the whole direction that my career went in. So, yeah.
Dude, that is, I could promise you it's a whole different direction, you know, not for the bad or the good, because you odds are, being the type of person we, as you mentioned earlier, college educated or not, inside you, you had something already. You just needed somebody to guide you. So if you would have got into the other realm, somebody would have, like you said, reached back and showed you the way, and you would have followed. You wouldn't have just heard it and not drank the water. You would have been that horse that went with him and said, okay, I'm ready to drink this water. I'm thirsty.
Man, that's some good water.
Right. That's the best water ever, right? So you were definitely that person, and that's what it takes for people to grow, is you have to listen and actually take that advice and sometimes use it, because that life hack is so important sometimes, because you can, you know, spend years thinking you're not worth it, but to find out that you could have done it in less time, it's kind of killer. But especially when you already were told how to do it and you didn't take the advice.
Well, the one thing I want to mention here really quick, just for mentor relationships, because I think this is really important. I think a lot of times people are skeptical of mentorship relationships because they think that they have nothing to offer. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you have a lot to offer to somebody that says, hey, yeah, I'm going to mentor you. You know what I mean? The only thing that you have to, you got to remember is that it's not, you know, just because they're ahead of you sort of a deal doesn't mean that they can't learn from you. And so a lot of the times I think that, especially in the industry, I think that we neglect, right? Or we have fear of reaching out to other people because we're like, well, you know, they're the top salesperson in the company, or they're the top mechanic or whatever. And I, you know, what can I give? What could I offer this person? And that's not, I mean, that's just not the case.
It's so important that you have a vessel to pour into. Man, if I brew up a big pot of coffee, but I have no place to put it, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with that? There's no receptacle for that. There's nothing to take it in. Try to go open up a dojo and not have any students. You need them. Otherwise, you don't have a business. Fact. You know what I mean? If you don't have somebody to teach,
right, you're not a
teacher. You know what I mean? And, yeah, and so
having but that the student kind of, can also teach the teacher sort of, yes, a deal.
Every, yeah, single time. And, yeah, and that's what's key. I mean, I know if you talk to my kids, you would never believe that I'm their dad, you know, because of how smart they are. You know what I mean? But it's so much that I've learned by sitting there with them, by learning from them, by having them check me, by me learning what they've learned, by me trying to be a man because I have children to be responsible for. You know what I mean? And right, the thing that's so important for somebody, and what you're saying is so, so valuable, man. I'm so loving this. That if there isn't that relationship where you can get better because we're together, then we don't have a mutual relationship. You know what I mean? That is what's key inside of a relationship. Now, a teacher is always a good teacher because they know how to teach. And the best way to ever learn something is to teach it. You know, that's what makes you even better. You know, you got sharper at your skill by 100%. Sharing it with other people, yeah, and just seeing it work.
The best guys on my floor train my new guys on, you know, on the D, you know, like the on the job training type stuff, how to do paperwork, how to, you know, they actually had them shadow. They do all that type of stuff. And as they're being shadowed, they're, dude, that's almost like having me stand there because they want to show off a little bit, right? They want to do their job the right way. They purposely make sure their steps are done. They purposely make sure that they're taking care of them. They're asking all the right questions and not forgetting and trying to go through it too fast so they can hurry up and get to the pencil, that type of stuff.
Well, so what do you think? So let me pose this question because I love what you're saying right now. What do you think is more valuable as a green pea? Do you think that it's more valuable to say to go into the dealership and just wait on the point for somebody to show up? Right.
You won't work with them.
Right. And you're gonna practice with your customer because that's what you're doing. You're just practicing with them and you're practicing bad. Cause I guarantee you that if unless you're like a master closer or salesperson or something prior to getting there, you're gonna fumble that a million times over and you're just practicing bad habits. So what's more valuable, to stand there for 30 days or to go to the guy that's selling 40, 50 cars a month and be like, listen, dude, I'm not going to sell a single car. I'm just going to shadow you. I'm going to do all your paperwork and I'm just going to sit here and just absorb anything. How valuable would it be if I just do all your paperwork for a month? You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, definitely the latter.
100. And here's right. What's beautiful is that guy, that veteran, every time he has a split deal that needs to go down and needs help, mm-hmm. he's going to grab him.
Who is he going to pick? Yeah, exactly.
100%, because he's trained the way he wants in the train. I know he knows how to do his paperwork. He'll make sure my paperwork's good. Hey, listen, right. Yeah. Simple as that, man. And it, like you said, it teaches you so much when you get to do that. And much better than standing on the corner. The culture that I try to make sure that we don't have is people just try half the time. And I hate to say it is that we miss people. We have to tell the people there's people on the lot. I'm like, who's up? Because they're so involved on phones. They're so involved on, they're trying to, you know, do their witch take. They're trying to go online and make sure they're posting this or they're following up. They're doing the stuff that they should be seeing a lot, which in my day, I didn't have social media when I was on the floor. So I just had basically just my phone calls, my follow up, and then I'd be on a lot.
Or you get that beautiful call, right? Line one, sales call on line one.
Yes, sir. Like, we'd fight, trip somebody to get to that. This is not an exaggeration.
That's how we became.
You wouldn't even get mad at the dude if he tripped you. You'd fall down, but just start laughing. Like, oh, you got it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right? Right.
But those were both time, bro. Hot. Yeah, the phone would never ring more than once. You hear, ping. Did that phone just ring? Crazy,
but yeah. To just tag a little bit with your philosophy there, and that's more of our system is to take a guy, make sure that we do fully train him on the things that are the most seen objections and issues that customers run into, and the way to service the customer our way, and then from there make sure that they build a relationship with the staff that isn't where it's contentious, where you don't want to take your 40 car guy that doesn't have it in his heart to even help and distract him with somebody else. Sure. He doesn't want to get burdened with that guy. Right. Unless that's part of his culture of wanting to make sure that he sees the other people grow with them. Cause I mean, I've been part of plenty floors where some of the guys, especially the guys that have been on the lot for a while, you can't talk to them till you've been there 90 days. They ain't even high fiving you. You know what I mean? If you made them a grand, you know, they're not even, they don't know your name yet. They're still, who are you?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the culture, right? That's how people, that's how some of the teeth were cut in this business, but building more of a culture where it's beneficial for somebody to have an apprenticeship with somebody. My guys so when you come in new to our store, the biggest thing that I tell them, especially when they're shadowing our guys in their process and learning how to help people our way, it's shadows don't talk. You sit there, you pay attention, you watch this whole system go down. So they learn from the making the phone calls, they learn to processing the deal. And even if they start setting appointments, same way. You know, hey, this person's going to show you exactly how this goes down. And when you start to sprinkle that throughout the showroom where the veteran that's been here for however long starts getting a few free deals where he didn't have somebody coming in that day, and the new guy has a deal come through and he gets to work that deal, you get a split deal. He learned how to do a car. He set the appointment, but he just let you do it all. That's how we learned. You know, that's how I learned until I realized I'm splitting my deals with him.
Right.
Yeah. Can I try this by myself, boss? One time, if I mess up, you could throw some.
What's going on here, man?
Yeah.
But making sure that is cool on the upfront, right? But what I wanted to know is how do I not split my deals anymore? How do I do this on my own?
On my own.
You do this like this. Okay, great. If not, you still have your brothers to grow with. So I love the culture that we have in bringing up the new people because it's beneficial on both sides, and it has to be. Otherwise, you can have a contention of, man, I don't want to help you. You're messing with my money while I make you become a guy that may not be here next month. You know what I mean?
Sure, and so
you have to build that culture.
No doubt. But so that being said, I'm going to pass this on to Lou.
Boom. So speaking of building culture and learning things, right? You posed a great question, and I appreciate that. And you've obviously asking that question because you've dealt with the pain on both sides of it, or on at least the side of, hey, go stand outside and go meet somebody, and we'll risk our advertisement dollars with somebody that doesn't know what to do, you know, which is how the model used to be, right? And we'll let the guy here kind of train you. Good luck, kid. Get him, you know. But what was the hardest lesson in your career that you've had to learn?
Oh, that's a great question, man.
One time on that.
Probably for me is to not take it personal, man. Like, no doesn't mean it's not personal. It just means you didn't do enough, right? You just didn't do enough. Because I believe, especially now more than ever, man, I think that people that show up to a dealership, they've already chosen you, right? Because they're not just going to that dealer because maybe there is the convenience factor, but I think the majority of people do enough research that if they show up in today's world, they've already chosen you. So all you have to do, whether it's on the front or the back of the house, is just remove the obstacles, man. Make it easy for them to do business with you. And I think a lot of times we don't do that very well. So that would be my biggest thing. It's just it would be that for sure.
I love that. And that's very actually right there. It's the facts. Like, if people don't take it personal, because taking things personal in a business, it's going to be hard for you to move on and go to the next whole forgive, focus, fly stuff that we talk about.
It affects the next customer because there's always the next opportunity, right?
No doubt. There was a trainer, and he's still a trainer, Mark Tuart, and he was one of the first training things I went to, right? It was our dealership took us there. You probably were with me there. And one of the things that he said that I took to heart was, when you have a deal, it just doesn't happen the way you want. Learn from it. It may take a second, but next. That was his thing. He would say, next, and you just go on to the next thing. Move on. Let it go, because if you hold on to it, that next customer is going to feel that. It's going to feel the anxiety. It's going to feel the pressure. It's going to you can't let that weigh you down. That's why I love the forgive, focus, fly, because it's so true. Next and move on, because learn, but you have to learn. Don't do that same thing. Put, like you said, we didn't do enough. It's okay. Do enough next time. Make sure it is what you want. Make sure you ask the questions. Sometimes enough is for one client, so you assume the next client, you could do the same thing. It's going to work. It's not going to. It could, but people are people, so ask questions what they want. Ask them what is going to be the least path of least resistance for you to get through with them also.
And I had Ollie Reed on the show early on, man, like season one.
Wow.
And it's funny because me and Ollie worked together when I was starting out. He was a salesperson and I was, you know, just doing, you know, service like oil changes. And, you know, I was a lube tech. So we kind of shared that, you know, we started together. And I remember that you know, kind of like one of the things that I took from that experience from early on was that you know, like I felt like a lot of people that I was talking to that I was interacting with just had this. They were just really taking things personally, and you could see that translate on the next deal. And Ali is one of those people that always talked about, you gotta always look at your process. You always have to be looking at that. And he talked about that on the podcast. He was like, listen, if you get to 20 cars, that process isn't going to get you to 30.
Right.
You have to pause. You got to pump the brakes, and you have to like, okay, what can I do now in my process? What can I eliminate or add to my process to get me to 30? And then once you get there, you got to do the same thing. So you got to be constantly looking at it. You know, you got to be constantly looking at it, and that's how you grow. And now, I mean, look at where he is now, but he didn't, you know, he's not doing what he did back then now, obviously, right? And so I think that when you take a moment to really reflect on the things that you're doing with the success that you have, whatever that looks like, and you adjust, then that gets you to the next level.
I love that. It's a pivot. You got to pivot here and there. You got to make changes. And even when you feel like you're doing great, the thing is that eventually you get comfortable at whatever you're at, right? Mm-hmm. When you get to that comfortable level, folks, that means you're not growing anymore. And even though it feels kind of good, after a while, it gets kind of like you almost hate what you're doing. And it's something, and even though you love it, you may find hate in it because you're like, this is boring. It's getting too easy for me. And that's something I think that people like you, people like Al, you know, everybody out there who's doing these major things, you know, the Frank Crinitis, all them out there that are just massive numbers, just silly numbers, right? Mm-hmm. They do that, but that's because they are always looking for that next level of can I do? Even now, even when they've hit record numbers and they're the number one in the world, and they're all this stuff, they hit these numbers, but yet they're still looking for more,
and that, then to multiply, you know, it's not just I want to just keep being the best. He wrote a book for it. Why? So that the salespeople inside of our dealership can read it. You know what I mean?
Now that's the thing. You know what I mean? Now he's reaching back, right, and he's trying to bring people with him.
Because that's the thing. It's so boring at the top by yourself. You want other people, and because there is so much opportunity in this business for many other people to come up and do this. Let's do it. Let's all rise up like solutionaries and keep growing, man. I love this. This is great conversation. Yeah, and
for those of you that don't know who Ali Reida is, he's the Guinness Book of World Record holder of most selling of cars.
The top biggity dog.
Yeah. I mean, world record, like number one in the world. Okay, like you can't.
You should check that out. I mean, I'm saying if you want to learn how to do things, it's one thing to listen to the guy that's selling 20, 30 cars on your floor. It's another thing to listen to the one that's alive and living and teaching it right now.
Now
he wrote the book on it and you can read. And it's for free, for crying out loud. The book is
150 free. Plus cars in 1 month. Yeah, like I would be listening to that dude all the time.
I mean, but that's honor. And Ollie, we definitely want to make space for you inside of the cafe because you are a solutionary. So you see this, you hear this, go ahead and hit us up. But I want to make sure that we correlate all of that with understanding that the culture is always about finding that next level of growth. And sometimes that next level of growth inside of you can only come when you start pouring out into somebody else. Yeah. And that has been the way that the car business used to always be in the way of, we don't want to share any of our secrets. We don't want to share what it is that we're doing good. That's making us better. We because of the competition, where instead, I want the competition to be as good as possible.
I want the car business.
How I'm going to get as good as I can possibly.
I am a preacher of this, and people think I'm crazy, to include my owner even. He thinks I'm crazy because I'm okay. I want every dealer in my area that I work around, I want them to crush it. Because if everyone is doing well and business is done right, then it's so much easier for all of us. It makes it that much better for people. Everybody will come. I want to buy a car every 2 years instead of every five now because the experience sucks. No, actually, it's great. So let's go every year. Matter of fact, I want to buy everybody in my family car. But that's what will happen. That is what will shift if we can all do that together.
Imagine if when sitting with a customer and they start talking about another dealership that they're in competition with, and salespeople start all saying the same thing of, man, those are some great guys down the street there. Yeah, those are. I can't believe you didn't buy from me. You know what I mean? Wow. I'm so thankful that I have the chance to talk to you now, but those are great guys. I have nothing bad to say. And that was the culture of even taking a TO now. I ain't saying nothing bad about guys.
That's no point.
What's that saying? That those that don't know how to do teach. My saying is those that are succeeding, right? Their obligation is to teach.
Word
you
up.
Know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like, you have to, like, there's no, that's what I love about this pandemic that we're in. That's what I love about these podcasts. I love, you know, people like you guys, Cirillo, Harris, all these guys that are creating content for the industry, dude. Like I don't think they realize the impact that they're having, but they're changing the industry. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, because people are consuming this information, they're educating themselves, they're becoming better. and they're going to take all that stuff. Maybe they don't post on LinkedIn or on social media and stuff because that's not their thing, but they're getting this knowledge and they're taking it back to their dealerships and they're implementing the stuff. And it's going to look like as time progresses, all this information that we're pumping out into you know, all this content is going, is landing where it needs to go. You know what I mean? And that's going to look, the benefit of that is going to start to show. And I'm just excited, dude, for the next 3 to 5. That's why I always ask in my show, like, what how do you see the industry in the next 5 years? Because I want to have that, a documentation of that, you know, and maybe in 10 years from now or whatever, put a compilation of all these people's thoughts and stuff, and then compare it to what reality
really happening. Right. And that's a smart idea. Man, yes. Genius.
Yes, yes. That's why I love watching our shows and pre-recording them, because like you'll see, like we're live now with whatever audience we have today that meets us on a Friday night, right? But in the future, when we release the podcast, kind of seeing what things have transpired in the meantime. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And usually it's so rocking. It's just amazing how that right works out. I love that you're doing that, though. And I'm great. I'm glad that we get to be a part of the party. Speaking of a part of the party, hoping things land the right way.
Bam. Man, we are on question number 5. Ooh. Crazy. What a journey this has been. We've done everything from the why. We figured out why you got in the business. We know all those things about you. We know who your mentor was, who you came up in the business with. I mean, come on. The goat, right? So what's amazing about the story that you've told us is that everything that you've brought up is always about sharing and growing with people and helping other people grow up. And that lets me know what kind of person you are, so that I can really appreciate. And what I want to tell you is that I honor that. And I want to let you know that's right up our alley. You are a solutionary all day. You're this we have the same, we like to call it, it's our, I'm gonna get it set up, but 1, 2, 3, you are CGC approved, my friend. So
right on.
Yes, sir, man. We're so happy to have you here tonight, man. Honestly, it's been an honor. And so to get to this 5th question, it's been, what is your greatest reward? You know, you've had a lot of great stuff. You've been able to reach back. You've been reached back to. So we understand that chain. That's a beautiful chain to do. It's a chain of love. And I could see that in your heart that you have a lot of passion and you have a lot of passion for this business. So I'm so thankful that I got to talk with you tonight and getting to know you a little bit more. And hopefully this will grow even to a bigger relationship. Yeah. But this 5th question, man, reward, your greatest reward from this business. It could be a multitude of things, I'm sure, but there's something that probably sticks out that really, it makes your heart just feel really good that you were part of or that you got to bring up. So what would that be?
Yeah, no, first of all, thanks guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. This has been awesome. Great conversation. It's like I said earlier, it's kind of weird being on this side, but it's been nice to kind of think about the journey, right? Because I think a lot of times we're just hustling and doing, and it's, you know, we don't take the time to stop and kind of reflect. So it's been good. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. You know, man, it, for me, the biggest reward is just, being able to do this thing every single day, dude, just go into dealerships. Now at this point in my career, like I have some sort of, I don't know what to call it, if it's credibility or clout or whatever, you know, for whatever it's worth. But, you know, being able to do this day in and day out, man, to be in this business 20 plus years into it and still be able to get up and go into a dealership and talk to decision makers and talk to salespeople and talk to service advisors and service managers about ways for them to improve. Like I talked about earlier, back to the why, right? It doesn't feel like a job. Maybe it did in the beginning. I'm not even going to lie. Like when I was, you know, when I was busting tires and changing oil and all that stuff, it was like, damn, you know, this is rough. But, you know, somewhere along the journey, it changed into a job, from a job into a career. And I don't, there's people that spend 35 years doing something that they hate to do. And I'm never going to experience that. You know what I mean? I'm never going to experience that because I'm doing something that I love to do every single day. And I feel very, very fortunate, dude, to be able to do this thing that I love. So I had one of my GMs ask me the other day, we have these really deep conversations, and he was like, so you believe that this is what you were made to do? Like that you were put on this earth to help dealers like figure out their analytics and marketing and all that stuff? And I thought about it for a second. And I was like, yeah, I really do. I love it, dude. Like I can't think of myself doing anything else. So it's a great feeling.
That is what I'm freaking talking about, man. Dude, you made me feel like, you just made me love my job even more. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you made me love doing podcasts even more. You made me want to keep growing right now. And I appreciate you for bringing those types of words up and talking about that type of passion about this business. You know, we've had a lot of great conversations over the last year, year and 1 month now, right? And we've had some great ones, and it's been a lot of fun. But this conversation tonight's right up there for everything, man. You really even made me think about my journey some, and you made me think about a lot of stuff. So appreciative that you spent your Friday night with us, man. I know you're a busy guy. You got a lot of things going on. So to have this time with you is pretty awesome. And I'm looking forward to having more convo, man. So if there's ever anything you need from us, you let us know.
Oh, you guys, you're coming on the podcast, dude. So then now there's no, like, we got to do this on my show now. So
all right, we definitely making it happen for sure, man. We in. You already know we're in on that. So we'll have some fun. Yeah.
Right, and that's one that's definitely, again, folks, and those of you that are listening, this isn't just a conversation between us three. We want to make sure that our listeners and our viewers, at whatever time you're listening to this, know that the conversation is good when we're all in it. This is what's given the power to this Clubhouse app, right? It's not so much that there's somebody really awesome inside of the room for you to listen to, which is good, but that you actually are in the room and able to be listened to as well. And your story matters. Your experience matters. Your value matters. And I'm thankful that you feel value out of the conversation that we have. And that's what we ultimately want to do with everybody, from the sales desk to the service drive. We want to make sure that everybody feels valued. The person doing their job wants to feel valued and honor the person that they're accepting money from on the other side of the desk. And when we're sitting here talking with other great car guys that are inside of, we're in the same space, right? You would be considered, and consider that. Just look at the precedent that we are setting here for all of you out there in the car business that are worried about the people that would be considered your competitors. We're finding out about what it is that you're doing, or you guys having a good cup of coffee and a conversation to do business better. You can have that. And by golly gee, if you guys hear me, you're going to have a Car Guy Cafe in places throughout the country that are going to be a place where the car guys, the mechanics, the salesmen, everybody, can all go in there, get a cup of coffee and have a good conversation inside of the culture that has its own jargon. We have our own language. You know what I mean? Some people don't know what we're talking about. Our wives roll their eyes once we start getting into a conversation about stuff. You know what I mean? We have our own lifestyle, and we should be able to share that together well. And you are a great leader inside of the industry that we are newbies in. We are green peas still in this. You know what I mean? You just got your I guess you kind of just got your big boy shoes after you've been at one place for a year, right? We are just now moving into being kind of knowing what we're doing a bit. And what proves it is that we get the chance to have even a conversation with you, because you're already leading the floor in this. And we're not competitors. We're here to uplift each other. And if
absolutely
we better,
go check out Dealer Talk, folks.
Check him out and
go check it out. Much love. Yes.
Thank you.
Respect. One love. Yes.
One love. One love.
Boy,
we love, yes, we love sharing that. And again, I mean, and I can get very wordy and very, very passionate about it, because I believe what I'm saying, and I honor who it is that you are. But we're showing that this is possible for us to join forces and make the industry better, because it's not absolutely about you and the subprime hero and the car guy. It's about an industry being a place that people can build an honorable relationship with the community. You know,
dude, you watch, I'm telling you, man, the next 5 years, this thing's going to look completely, we're going to look back at these times and we're going to be like, what was that back then? Like this whole thing, I'm telling you, man.
Like, yeah, we're like, what?
It's going to be completely different.
Dude, there's no doubt in my mind about that. There's going to be some major changing going on, and I've already see, I've seen it just in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Really, there's been some major changes, and it's going to be some major flips going on in
and
here.
It keeps getting better, baby.
But it is. It's all for the good, folks. Understand that. It's changes are things that are necessary sometimes. Old car guys, understand. You have to change. It's not the same as the 90s and 80s anymore, buddy. It's time to move on. It's time to learn and keep growing. Quit being comfortable. Get out there, reach back, and show people what you know, but also reach back and learn what they're trying to show you. Like he mentioned earlier, you can learn just as much from somebody who's new in this business as you can teach somebody that's new in this business.
Absolutely.
Make sure that you do that, folks.
Yeah, if it's going to come through you, it's going to happen to you. So you might as well let good stuff be given to other people from you, and you'll get to enjoy it also. And again, we're just so thankful and honored that you've spent the time with us tonight. For those of you that have been watching, for those of you that have been listening, thank you again. You are the superstars that are trying to find a way to improve and get yourself better at what you do, and that you should have a hat taken off to you for that. And there are hats available at carguycoffee.com.
Shameless plug, but we got to throw it out there.
You can get you some.
Get them.
But we're talking dealer talk, folks. We're in a very big and important industry, and you're important in it. And so it's just great to have the time to be with great people. Don't forget the relationships that you have, folks. It's important that you build those. And we're so thankful that we have this relationship here tonight. You're such a solutionary. Thank you for being on the show, Fred. I mean, I want to keep this conversation going, and I will if you guys don't stop me.
It's so true, though, but that's why I love you, Lou. When I don't know what to say, I just say, look at Lou. So it works out, and that's why we have such a good partnership, and I appreciate you, man. And it's really fun to sit down. I'm looking forward to one day meeting you at a convention or something. We all sit down and have a good time, maybe we'll host a big show to all three of us do a show together, that'd be a lot of fun. So, but that being said, man, good time tonight. I appreciate you for coming. I know you got a busy weekend coming up. I'm sure if you're much like anybody else, you'd like to get home and share the love with the family too, man. Yes. And I know that we want to do the same. So
I know I'm hungry. Car guys, car gals, we are here with Dealer Talk Live's host himself. And man, we are so thankful.
I love that song.
Brother, is there anything that you have to say to the public before we head out for the night?
Man, the only thing is, listen, let's take care of this industry. Let's take care of each other. Let's help each other. If you know anything that's working, if you're having success with anything that you're doing, share it, man. Like, don't, we're all in this together. Let's change this thing. Let's make it better than what it is today.
That is so right. Share and give and love, folks. There's the best way to show appreciation for this business and what it's done for you is to keep giving back to this business. Yes. So I appreciate you for doing that. We're going to keep doing that. Let's all keep growing. Y'all have a great weekend. Yes. We'll see y'all Sunday night.
See you Sunday night.
Peace.
There is the car guy.
This is Fred Lenars, the subprime hero.
Let's everybody have an incredible, incredible night. Thank you, brother, for being here with us. We are so thankful. Peace, everybody. Have a good weekend and get you some Car Guy Coffee. We are brewing solutions with the best.